Episode number 324, Camaro ZL1 Ain't No Bitch.
Coming to you almost live from the Motor City, Detroit, Michigan, it's the Camaro C28.com podcast with your host Chris Frezza and Jason Debler. Strap in, it's the Camaro C28.com podcast on the air.
And welcome back, everyone, for another exciting episode of the Camaro Z28.com podcast. I'm Chris.
And I'm a bitch. Love that title.
Oh, man, we're going to get into that because it's a fitting topic for this week's episode of the podcast here.
There's a lot of hacking going on between those Chevy and Ford camps.
Yeah. Well, we got some pretty exciting news for this week. Something we've been waiting for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Long, long time. That's going to be probably the main topic of the show here. And that is the pricing for the Camaro ZL1 was finally released this week, as well as some numbers to back up claims, you know, horsepower and all that kind of stuff. So let's get to that here.
Yeah.
So when was it? On November 15th. That's when this came out. So ZL1, it's going to start at $54,995. So we're in the ballpark.
Including destination.
That is including destination?
Yep. It's okay. $54,095 without destination.
Oh, okay.
But you still got to pay it.
Yeah.
Even if you live in Oshawa. So I originally expected it to be $54,999, I think. Well, no. Looking back, I think I originally said $49,999. And then I thought higher. And then I even thought higher yet. And then now it's back to just higher.
Doesn't matter now because the official pricing is out.
Yep.
And what do you think of that price tag?
It's right where it needs to be, I think.
I think so.
For
the technology that's put into this car, this is the most technologically advanced Camaro ever built.
And it's borderline, it's in the top five most advanced Chevrolets ever built.
Exactly.
It's up there. I mean, no other vehicle has the suspension yet, just this.
Yeah.
Not even the Corvette.
Third generation MR.
And if anybody thinks they can build something exactly like it for less money, good luck.
Yeah. Man.
Impressive numbers.
Oh, there's some really good numbers here. So we got 0 to 60 from a rolling start, 4.0 seconds with a manual, 3.9 seconds with an automatic, quarter mile from
Wait. The automatic is faster than a manual? That's impossible.
Why is that?
Because everybody says it's impossible.
Who's everybody?
Everybody who doesn't think the ZL1 should have an automatic.
Oh, okay.
Okay, go ahead. Keep going.
Quarter mile from a rolling start, 12.1 seconds at 119 miles per hour for the manual.
Uh-huh.
12.0 seconds at 119 miles per hour for the automatic.
Not possible. Okay. The numbers are wrong. The price isn't even accurate now.
Next. 180 mile per hour top speed for the manual, 184 miles per hour for the automatic.
What?
And max lateral grip, 1.0G for the manual, 1.0G for the automatic.
No, the manual should have better lateral acceleration.
Yeah.
I'm just joshing. I hate using that term. I'll never use it again.
This is going to be a hell of a car.
Oh, but you know what? It's nothing. Nothing compared to what Ford is coming out with.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that in a minute.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Well, I don't know. Maybe. What else you got?
So there's only going to be six options here, it says, for the Camaro ZL1. The six-speed automatic transmission with tap shift control is $1,185. 20-inch bright aluminum wheel package is $470.
That's not bad.
I know. I was expecting it to be a lot more.
Holy
crap.
Which
is why I didn't order them. it doesn't matter. I like the black wheels anyways. Power sunroof, $900. The stripe package, $470. I did not order stripes.
Hmm.
Exposed weave carbon fiber hood insert is $600.
Did you get that?
No. And the suede package, including suede microfiber accents on the steering wheel, shift knob, and shift boot is $500. I did get that. That was the only option I got.
Cool, cool, cool.
The Camaro ZL1 Coupe will go on sale in the spring of 2012 as a 2012 model. The ZL1 Convertible will go on sale in the summer of 2012 as a 2013 model. So, well, there you have it, man.
So
everything's finally, everything's out, like out. there's nothing else we're waiting for on the ZL1 except for it to be produced.
Yeah, I think so. Well, convertible pricing.
Well, yeah, that's true.
But base, you know, ZL1. Yeah, because we have top speed, we have quarter mile, we have 0 to 60. Do we have braking? They didn't mention braking, did they?
No.
Maybe nobody pays attention to that crap anymore.
I guess they pay attention to ring times, though.
Yeah, but some people also say that that's pointless, too.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I wanted to read one other thing here.
All right.
Where's the article when I posted this on the message board? Because what was included, what was not included in the press release here is, yeah, here it is. The ZL1 includes a gas guzzler tax, which was not included in the press release there. And it's going to be an additional $1,300 for the manual.
God.
Or $2,600 for the automatic. So, yeah, they're going to bend you over on the gas guzzler charge. Well, then obviously, they're, you know, nothing they can do about that.
You know. Oh, bitch, you got jacked, bitch.
But, yeah. Yeah, and I noticed in my order, when I checked my order online, it says gas guzzler ZR1. So they must not even have the ZL1 in the system yet or something. So, yeah, we knew that was coming.
Guzzler. What the hell does that mean? Nobody uses that word except in that case. I'm going to go guzzle some milk.
I'll take it up with the feds, man.
Yeah, feds, I take it up because of the feds.
That's true.
Well, actually, you are, not me. My car doesn't guzzle gas.
I'm trying to think. Didn't I pay the gas? I think I paid the gas guzzler on my first CTSV I bought, too.
Probably.
Yeah.
Right.
And that
right.
was only 400 horsepower. The hell? My Camaro was 428 horsepower or whatever, and I didn't pay a gas guzzler tax on that.
I don't know how either, because it only weighs about 17,000 pounds. I'm being so facetious today.
Yeah.
Just snarky as hell. Well, I got good reason, though.
Yeah.
Because people are full of crap. That's what.
Who's full of crap?
A lot of people are full of crap.
Okay, so yeah. all this comes out this week.
Yeah, this comes out this week in what, same day?
Yeah.
Ford says, all right, fine. You gave it your shot. Now we're going to come out with a 650 horsepower GT500. Mm. And that pretty much made everybody go, whoa.
Yeah, there's a lot of people.
Including me. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
And then, 202 mile per hour top speed.
Damn.
That's ridiculous. That's
awesome.
Yeah. That's also very scary and, well, on a consumer level, very stupid. So then, I don't even know, same day or the next day, Al Oppenheiser, chief engineer of the Chevrolet Camaro, lays it down. He sends an open letter, and he says, Camaro Nation, as you know, the blogs lit up with the announcement of the new 650 horsepower Mustang GT500, and I wanted to give you my perspective on the latest challenge from Dearborn. The Mustang has been playing catch-up since the moment the 5th-gen Camaro arrived in 2009. Since then, Camaro has been the best-selling sports car in America, indicating that consumers know which car offers the best performance, style, and safety. It is no coincidence that Mustang has introduced 3 100 horsepower increases to keep pace with a Camaro. First, their V6 was bumped to 305, then their V8 went to 412, and now the GT500. Even with the 100 horsepower increase, the 2013 GT500 will still not match the technology and sophistication of the 2012 Camaro ZL1. The days of no replacement for displacement are over, and it's not enough to be fast in a straight line. With the Camaro ZL1, we set out to deliver integrated performance and be equally good at acceleration, braking, grip, and turning. As you will soon see, that's why the Camaro ZL1 will set the performance benchmark for the segment. Our approach was to make every Camaro ZL1 fully track capable from the factory. As we announced today, the ZL1 coupe will start at $54,995 with standard magnetic ride control, standard performance traction management, and standard track capable equipment such as a rear differential cooler, brake cooling ducts, and an engine and transmission cooler. None of our customers will have to buy extra options or modify their ZL1 for track day usage. That is not the case for the current GT500 or their new car. For Mustang fans, you're welcome. Clearly, the Camaro has encouraged Ford to throw everything they can at us. For Camaro fans, trust me, we are always listening to your feedback and working hard to keep the Camaro in the lead. Al Oppenheiser.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah, that's kind of saying something. But yeah. How much is it really saying? Because it doesn't say it's going to outperform it.
Nope.
It'll just say it's more sophisticated.
Right.
And a better driver, in so many words, is what I got out of it.
Yeah.
So I don't think it can be disputed. I think the GT500 will outperform in sheer numbers.
Straight line, obviously, if they can put that power to the ground.
That's the thing. It's pretty tough to do that without a lot of balance. And the Mustang is slightly out of balance. And some people say that doesn't make a difference, but I think it does. I mean, that's why drag racers put a 12-pound battery in the trunk.
Mm-hmm.
It does mean something. How much? It's hard to tell. Some. Maybe not much. So that kind of really spun things into a tizzy.
Yeah.
So then Jalopnik reports, and they say, in their typical snarkyism,
yeah, love it.
Muscle car fight. Ford takes the bat and goes home. After Ford brought out its potentially ZL1 killing 650 horsepower 2013 Shelby GT500, wouldn't it be GT650? Anyway, Joel Iwanyk, global vice president of GM marketing, decided to drop the gauntlet down at the feet of Ford. We should take a Camaro. Ford brings a Mustang. We each pick our drivers and see who has the best time at the ring. Iwanyk said to Scott Burgess of the Detroit News. Jim Farley, who leads Ford's global marketing, wasn't taking the bait despite professed claims to desire to take a bat to Chevrolet. I wish we could, he said after hearing about Iwanyk's challenge. Who wouldn't want to do that? Huh. Sounds to us like maybe Ford's chicken. Hey, Farley. Bok, 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 bok. Bok, bok. That's Jalopnik for you.
Yeah.
For you.
Everybody wants to see that happen, though, you know?
I don't know why. They're right, though. Who wouldn't want to do that?
Yeah.
So why didn't they? Or why won't they?
I don't know.
Or are they just laying low?
I mean, did they actually show a GT500, 650 horse GT500 in L.A.?
They took one out on the ring.
Did they?
Somebody did. It was Road and Track or Car and Driver or...
one of the new 2013s?
That's what it said. Somebody linked to it in one of the other threads.
Okay.
But I couldn't find a time in there.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're hanging on to it for a little while they still tweak more. I mean, that would make sense. I mean, that's understandable. Look, this Mustang is really phenomenal. This is more than ZR1 power.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, but the ZR1 would crush it. I'm pretty sure it would crush it.
Well, wait a second now. Well, now, hold on. If the Ford camp is saying this Mustang is the be-all, end-all because of it having 650 horsepower, fine. Let's bring out the ZR1. If horsepower numbers are it and not price and not anything else, bring it on. It's really competing more with the ZR1 than the ZL1 anyway, if that's what you're looking at. Right?
I guess, but if you look at the price tag, it's not.
Well, shoot, man, you can get a 200 horsepower car for twice as much as a GT500. I'm sure there's something by Bentley or something out there.
Yeah.
Or Fiat, or I don't know. But
take an old Fox body Mustang and throw a blower on it.
Take an old Fox body Mustang and throw $40,000 at it.
Yeah.
And it'll destroy anything made by a factory today.
Yeah.
So that's why price is kind of, I don't know, it all comes down to what somebody wants.
Yeah.
If they want to be the baddest son of a bitch in the land, man, that GT500 is it. If they want to be able to control it, the ZL1 is it. I don't know, though.
That's a good point.
Ford's really doing some solid engineering, and they're so fast to ramp up.
Yeah.
You know? It's a good time to be a car enthusiast.
Yeah.
I think my...
you gotta love the competition, though.
And my plea to everybody is keep an open mind. You know, don't just say, oh, there's no way that the Ford could be better than the Camaro. Or the other way around.
Yeah.
You know, I mean...
it's almost like the roles are reversed right now with Camaro and Mustang. How we were with the F-bodies in the fourth generation. The car was faster. It outperformed the Mustang.
Uh-huh.
You know? But Mustang sold a lot more of them.
Yeah.
And they said the Mustang was an all-around better vehicle, even though it had less horsepower.
I'll agree. It's a great car, and it still is.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm seeing role reversal right now.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, we'd like to hear your thoughts on it, and you can be honest, just be fair, and be realistic about it. What do you think about this 650 horsepower? That's... 650 horsepower.
I think it's going to be an interesting summer. That's what I think.
Let's say that it's like any other factory-blown car, and with a pulley and a tune, you get another 50 out of it.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. But if you can knock it on the door of 700 horsepower with a pulley and tune. I remember the days when, we talk about this often, but the ZR1 in the 90s, 405 horsepower, was unheard of.
Yeah, that was like way unheard of.
And then our Trailblazer SSs had more than that, or the same.
390.
Plus you could haul dead hookers in the back. Yeah. Here's a great case in point. The LT1 Camaro is 275 horsepower. Now my new daily driver, which I'll get to towards the end of the show, has a V6 with 290. And it's just amazing. So there you have it. We got to move on, though.
Yeah.
What's next here?
Good stuff, though. Some more good news for Camaro this week. This was actually really good news. So Camaro Coupe is the first vehicle to earn a perfect score in the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration's safety testing since the federal testing procedures were revised for 2011. So basically, crash test here, 5 stars all around Camaro.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
I remember right, the previous test, it only got a 4 star out of 5.
4 out of 5 on...
Was it a
front or side? I can't remember. It got 5 everywhere else. There was one part that it didn't get
because
5.
The airbags deployed too fast.
Something like that.
But apparently, they were ahead of the game because now it's 5 stars. So that means when you're driving your 580 horsepower Camaro through somebody's home, you'll be safe. That's the other thing that bothers me about these high horsepower cars. Somebody's not going to have enough experience, and don't tell me that everybody, well, nobody has. Very few people can really take care of this kind of power without kind of graduating to it.
Yeah.
So there's going to be some dead people. So yeah. I plead to everybody, wear your seatbelts and use common sense.
Absolutely.
Don't drive beyond your ability, but I'll get into that some other day.
Yeah.
Because we're running out of time already. We're behind the class schedule.
I'll link
here.
That up in the show notes.
Well, and also everything that we've talked about so far, I think, can be found on the front page of Camaro Z28.
Absolutely.
All right. Oh, so then if that wasn't enough, there's more ZL1 news.
There's more, because this week started the LA Auto Show. And what did Chevrolet bring to the LA Auto Show? The convertible ZL1.
God, that looks sharp.
Doesn't it?
Yes.
So we got that linked up on the front page of the site as well, so check it out. Beautiful looking car. Is that the ashen gray or is that black?
Well, I think that's ashen gray.
Yeah. Beautiful looking car.
Yeah. They do look good, man. Sick. Sick. Sick.
Yeah.
I wonder how many out there are going to get a ZL1 convertible.
Yeah.
I mean, if the ZL1 is supposed to be kind of limited in... to a certain amount, or just, you know, limited production, but with no like exact number.
Yeah,
I wonder if the convertible is going to be even less. We might be looking at the future Copo cars. You know, if somebody buys a ZL1 convertible, it hermetically seals it away for 20 or 30 years. I bet you it'll be worth quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know, after the zombie apocalypse ends,
of course.
And,
yeah,
and you know, it gets uncovered in a vault. All right. We gotta move on here. Yeah, we got voicemails and...
We sure do.
All right. I love this part.
Let's start them.
All right.
Hey, guys. It's Kevin from North Carolina doing my first drag race in the Cadillac going down Morrisville Dragway. 60 miles. 70. Whoa. About to miss the turn off. Hey, hats off to doing so good on the podcast and selling the site. Hopefully it worked out well. I'll have to try this again. Never done that before. And actually had it in second gear. 8th mile, Morrisville drag strip, somewhere between 60 and 70. Peace out.
Wow, that was definitely a first for the show. Somebody calling in while drag racing legally and on a track.
In a Cadillac.
Yeah, in North Carolina. Kevin,
nice,
awesome job,
Kevin.
Man.
I remember way back in the day.
Yeah,
remember Jim Davidson?
Yeah,
this is when cell phones were a rarity. Like probably 1 in 10 people had a cell phone. This is 1996-97, and Jim D called his sister while making a pass, and that was like
wasn't he in somebody's convertible?
I think so. It was that was like a big deal. That was like you know, it probably cost him $2 to make the call, too, you know?
Yeah.
Well, Kevin, that's awesome. Glad you didn't completely wreck at the end because you weren't paying attention. I wonder what the ET was.
I don't know. He said it was an eighth mile track.
Oh.
So I don't know.
Oh. Call us back and let us know, man. Thanks a lot for that. Nice.
Okay, here's another one.
All right.
Hey, Jason, Chris, AJ96C28 from the boards. I'm listening to the podcast. You were talking about weight and my 96C28, an LT1 car, stock, no T-tops, manual transmission with a Borla catback. At Maple Grove Raceway, when I drag race, weighed 36.52 on the scales, full tank of gas with no driver. So there's your fourth gen weight. LS1 cars, I don't know what the limit on V8 might be, quite a bit less, but that's what mine at the drag strip on the scales was that. Okay, talk to you later. Keep up the great work.
Yeah, I remember weighing my car at Memphis Motorsports Park after I had my supercharger on it, and I was at like 38.50.
With you in it?
With me in it. Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, about 400 pounds.
Yeah.
Shoot, I can lift that over my head. Well, now that we know, because that number always seems to vary. I mean, some people say that their Trans Am weighed 3,800 pounds. Maybe they do because all the ground effects, I don't know. And then the headlight mechanism and all that junk, but yeah, there you have it. So 3,600 pounds.
Yeah.
Thanks for that, buddy. Couple of interesting emails or voicemails so far.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to make a pass in your car while giving us a call safely and controllably, or shoot us a message about anything Camaro related, here's how to do it.
To stay informed and in touch with the Camaro Z28.com crew, go to the message boards at CamaroZ28.com. If you have a question for the podcast, call the Camaro Z28.com voicemail hotline. The number is 586-486-3182. That's 586-486-3182.
Okay, I got an email here. This came in, a couple weeks ago, and we've had it here on the desk, so I'm going to get to it now. This comes from our good buddy Ed Kleehammer. Good morning. A couple of things, making a Camaro your own. It's all up to the owner. Everyone has their tastes and ideas. The most important aspect is that everyone that buys a Camaro, that is one more person in the family. The great thing about a new Camaro is that there is one for everyone's budget. I have seen some that have a little creativity and hard work out that turn out to be one of a kind. I have also seen ones that have a great deal of money was spent to make them a one of a kind. No matter what someone does, the important issue is that it is back and it is selling. Keep a great deal of people working both here in the U.S. and in Canada. The website. I have been on your board for years. I understand that life takes over. I am glad that both of you are at the helm. You guys have brought the Camaro community a great deal closer together. The forums are a great place for help and information. From experience, you can meet some of the best people on CamaroZ28.com. Thank you for creating CamaroZ28.com and setting the standard. For SEMA, I hope you guys have fun. I hope you will find the newest and coolest things while you're there. Have a safe trip and take care, guys. Ed.
That was nice.
Yeah.
Old buddy Ed Kleehammer.
Yeah. Thanks, Ed.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Truly
for that.
Appreciate that.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah, we had a decent time in Vegas.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Can't wait till next year.
Already?
Yes.
I still need a break. Kind of cut loose that one night.
Okay, we got one more voicemail.
Oh, cool.
Hey, guys. It's Mudbone calling. Man, I'm sorry about that long-winded voicemail last week. Driving along and just forgot what I was doing, I guess. Sorry about that. Thanks for your patience. I'll make it short this week. One more thing about the six-cylinder that I believe needs a little bit of adjustment, and that is the torque peak. That car makes good horsepower, but I've driven a couple of them, and it's just not as quite as much fun to drive as any of the LT1 cars, which make good torque at low RPM. Really need to work on that. I don't know. I'm not an expert on supercharging and whether that will help or what the deal is, but nobody wants to drive a daily driver and have to wind it up to 6,000 RPM to have it be a fun driving car. Give us some low-end torque around 2,000, 2,500 RPM so that when you're just driving the thing, you know, like you have to in traffic, it's a joy and a thrill. So that's it for this week. Let's hear what you think. Thank you, guys. Bye.
Mudbone.
Calling about the V6 again.
What about a gear swap? Wouldn't that do it?
I don't know.
What about that? Somebody call and tell us.
She poses some interesting questions for
V6
cars.
Very thoughtful.
Yeah.
Very thoughtful.
I'm sure Chevrolet is listening.
I know Chevrolet is listening.
So we'll see what's coming out now. I mean, it seems like every year that the fifth generation's out, the V6 car is increased in horsepower every year. What is it now? 323 for the V6?
It's crazy.
But Muddy wants some more torque. So give Muddy some more torque.
Give Muddy
down
some more
low,
torque.
Down low. Down low. Okay.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for the voicemails and the emails. Something we haven't done in a few weeks, and we've been kind of calling out to people. Say, hey, nominate yourself if you want, or nominate somebody else. And that's for Camaro of the Week. So we're going to start that back up, because now we finally have somebody that actually paid attention and nominated themselves. And this week it goes to Jason Camps, forum username JRock7. He says, hey guys, you were asking about members submitting suggestions for the car of the week on the podcast. Well, my Gen 5 is nothing special if you ask most, but I like to think it is a great example of how you can have a lot of fun with a Camaro without breaking the bank. I bought it for about cost, did a lot, I think, of tasteful do-it-yourself alterations to it, and came out with something that's unique, fun, but leaves me with more than just lint in my pocket. I saved enough money that if I couldn't do it myself, I could afford to hire somebody to do it right when necessary. It's won a couple of awards, but usually gets passed by at shows for the really tricked out Camaro SSs. I do get a lot of good feedback, though, and for a guy on a budget, it's been awesome to still be a part of the Camaro culture, and I still be able to make my Camaro unique enough to turn heads. If you get some time, check out my garage and let me know what you think. Well, we think it's good enough to make Camaro of the Week, buddy.
So congratulations, Jason Camps.
Yep. And if anybody else wants to be the Camaro of the Week, all they got to do is stick it in their garage.
Yeah, and email us. Let us know about it.
Yeah, or if you find one in our garage system that you like, by all means, email us about that one, too.
Yeah, cool.
So speaking of garages, I talked about this very, very briefly last week, and I got to talk about it a little bit this week as we wrap up.
Okay.
I've got a new vehicle in my garage.
Yeah.
And as I said last week, it's not a General Motors product.
Nope.
My daily driver was a 2000 Grand Cherokee Limited. Mm-hmm. I paid cash for it. It was kind of a beater. I was in between jobs. So I just got something quick and cheap, and I fixed it up a little bit. But it's kind of getting long in the tooth, and, well, it's about time I get a new one. So I did, and I bought a 2012 Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo X.
Mm.
And I kind of felt like almost like a little bit of a traitor.
Yeah.
You know, because I am a GM guy, diehard GM guy.
But you've always been a Jeep guy, too. You've owned numerous Jeeps.
This will be my third, actually.
Yeah.
But I've also driven them pretty much into the ground.
Yeah.
I wanted GM. I really did.
Okay.
But they just don't offer anything that's in my price range for what I want and need. I'm an odd demographic, I think. But Jeep had it, and I got a good deal, and, well, there I am with it.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks. It's nothing really special. I wanted to get the Limited with the V8 and all that, but yeah. I didn't want to. But I kind of needed it. You know, I just wanted to, you know, it's been a while since I've had a new car, if you don't count the Camaro, because that's a given.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I like it. It's a nice vehicle. I wish that there was still a Trailblazer out there, and there may be in the future.
Yeah.
But this was just the right size, the right features, and the right price. Sorry, GM. It just didn't have anything for me.
Yeah.
But, you know, and so I kind of get it when other people are in the same situation. The interesting thing is that the engine also accepts E85.
Okay.
So I tried it, and that was not a good idea.
No.
No. Because it was about, like, I don't know, 20% less in cost, but I lost 30 to 40% in gas and fuel mileage. And really, it was like $3.02 versus $3.29 a gallon. And I went from 18.5 miles per gallon in the city to 14 miles to the gallon. In the,
85% ethanol.
Yeah, well, it's 100% suck. And it's an 150% screw job. If 85 was $2 a gallon, okay, that makes sense. But that's just freaking pointless.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So if you were only paying $1.50 a gallon for E85,
oh yeah, it'd be cool. Yeah, it'd be well worth it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, dino juice, dead dinosaurs.
Dinosaur.
I'll save the corn for my flakes.
Yeah. There you go.
Anyway, All right, we're running over our clock here.
Yeah.
Get your voicemails, get your emails. And you know what else you guys need to get in?
What's
your,
that?
Your winter car storage tips.
Right.
We haven't really gotten any.
Nope. And we got a contest going until December 15th.
Yeah, we kicked that off. So throw your car storage tips out there. You know what I haven't had a chance to do yet?
What?
Is get that battery tender video up on the front page of the website.
Yeah.
I'll do that pretty quick here, too. So okay. If you're still looking for it, keep looking for it, because it'll be up there soon. Until then, I guess we're gonna get out of here. We will see you next week.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Camaro Z28.com podcast. If you have questions or comments for Chris and Jason, call our voicemail hotline, 586-486-3182. Or send your comments by email, webmasters@CamaroZ28.com. Once again, thank you for listening to Camaro Z28.com podcast. We'll see you next week.